Well, amen. What a blessing the music has been today, as always, but that doesn't just happen. I know that they pray over what God would have them to sing. They practice. They put a lot of time in it. Appreciate our choir. What a great job they do. And then all the special music has just been spot on. It's just been a blessing today, and what we'd thank the Lord for that. And the preaching this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Good Sunday morning, Sunday school. Good morning message. I've had a few of you ask me, he's a little bit different. Let me explain it to you. Early on in his ministry, he was Dave McCracken's associate.
That could mess up the best person ever. And since I wasn't the best person ever, that's what happened. That can certainly mess you up really bad. Do I have this on, brother? Is it on? Is it off? I am on. All right. Sorry about that. I don't ever tell people I know Dave McCracken. I don't even like being around him. He's a dangerous man. And he invited me to go to the Holy Land with him at one time. I said, I'm not going. You'll create some kind of international incident. We'll all be shipped back in body bags. I'm not going to do that. I love Brother Dave. I get to see him every so often. Got to see him the last couple of days. And he was a great blessing and influence, as you can probably tell. But I am not the reason, or that is not the reason I'm messed up. The reason I'm messed up is because I'm just messed up. I can't help it. I spent so much time being angry at God and angry at people in church that I decided when I got my life right, I was just going to have fun all the time. And you can ask Mrs. Hardy down here. Sometimes I take the fun to the nth degree where it's a little overboard. And she's very confused still to this day whether I'm a special needs person or not. So she often reminds me of that, like just very recently. I appreciate that. But please take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter number 5. In the society we live in today, certainly I think we would all agree with the idea that no one takes responsibility for themselves anymore. Everybody's always got a reason why they don't do or they do something. There's always some reason. My mother raised me this way, and this is why I'm this way. I've heard people say, my father cussed all the time, and so that's the reason I cuss. And, you know, those are all great, what we would call reasons, but that is just as dumb as it ever, any statement that comes out of your mouth that says, I do it because somebody else made me this way. Dave McCracken did not make me this way. He was a contributor, but he did not make me this way. We are commanded in the scriptures, and we are exhorted and admonished to take responsibility for ourselves as we walk the way that we're supposed to walk. In other words, a person can't say, well, I would be a better Christian if the preaching was better at my church. You can't say that. Now, they try to say it at Temple Baptist Church, but it just doesn't work. I mean, you can't say, I don't do something because, or I do something because. You have to own who you are as a believer. You have to own who you are as a person. You are the person you want to be, period. You don't have to be American to be that. You just have to be born. Well, Brother Ron, all these circumstances, all this situation. No, you really need to, I believe in mercy, I do, but we really need to get a couple of these things going on a couple of times. Hey, wake up. What are you doing? You say, is he really slapping himself? Of course. This is how I stay awake during my own messages. Somebody needs to... Twilight used to do this to Stephen. I'm not going to hurt you, I promise. Maybe I shouldn't have promised. All right. Stephen would go, I can't do it, I can't do it. And she would go, look at me, look at me, look at me. And he would go, look at me. You know, sometimes I think we need God to just get a hold of us and go, would you just look at me? Just look. It's not funny. Sit down. All right. I picked on him this morning. I said, you know, you heard me sing. He goes, no. So he came out and said, I didn't know what to say. I said, that's exactly why I picked you. I could see it on your face. So I think that Galatians chapter number 5 is one of those chapters for me that it's God and me, and God is going, you need to pay attention. I've got something to say to you. So let's stand up and turn to the chapter 5, Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse number 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I read those verses specifically to help you and I catch something here. These are directed individually, not to the church, but to each person who would say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. You and I are called to a different life, but we are not allowed to say, I would be in this different life if it weren't for X. When you and I were saved, we were made new creatures. Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. And we, as believers, of all people in the entire world, should be able to stand up and say, it's me. I'm the one who needs to change. I'm the one who needs to make the choice. Sadly, we don't find that a lot in churches. We certainly don't find it in America anymore. It's always, the reason I don't is because somebody made me. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about this idea. Who is the one exactly who stops you from being who you're supposed to be as a Christian anyway? Who is it? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us and for your word. And I pray tonight as we look into your word that you'd give us clarity of thought, ability to communicate it, and then give us the ability to understand, comprehend, and be changed by it. Lord, I pray that you would give us not just willingness to hear, but hearts to hear so that we can be changed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The first way that he starts off this chapter, and as we already looked, the Galatians certainly struggled. If you know anything about the Galatian churches, the book of Galatians written to the churches, Paul never asks them to pray for him. He never says anything to them. He very rarely commends them for anything because they were completely led astray from where they had started, the people they were supposed to be. And at some point, evidently, according to the way that he has written, especially chapter number 5, there must have been a tendency for them to blame those who came in and preached the gospel that was, as we've already discovered, not another gospel. And so as he progresses through the letter to the Galatian churches, he begins to become more pointed with his assessment of their lives. And I think we struggle with truth mainly because the world itself is moving farther and farther from the truth. And so consequently, we are moving farther from the truth because it's not out there anymore. I mean, when in the history of man have you been able to say something that was recorded on video and say you didn't say it? Have you considered that's the world we live in today? You can say something on video and then say you didn't say it. I mean, that is unbelievable. I wish they'd had that when I was a kid and my parents were asking me questions. And it would be acceptable to them. Well, I know you have it on video, but that's not what I said. Well, this is what the video says. Yes, but that's not what I said. Well, then what did you say? It wasn't that. It's ridiculous. Sadly, a Christian comes in to the pastor's office. They say, man, I got this problem. This is my issue. And the preacher gives all this. Well, hopefully he doesn't say, here's a book to read. It's a psychological analysis of what kind of person you are. I'm pretty sure Brother Dan doesn't do that, but he gives you a book and he gives you the Bible and he says, here, if you'll read this, and let me show you where to read. And this is what the Bible says about your problem. This is how you can deal with your problem. And here's exactly, well, I mean, but that's pretty harsh. There's been a recent incident where there's been some discussion, and I've actually had a person say to me while I was talking to them about the issue, and I mean, all I did was take the Bible and say, this is what the Bible said. Here's exactly what the person said. That's too hard. Can't you be kinder? I said, if this was my word, I probably would, but since it's not, no. This is what it says. See, that's exactly how God wants us to receive His word. And so when He starts off in Galatians, the very first thing He says, so what you need to do is you need to stand. You need to stand fast. You need to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You need to make up your mind that you're going to quit giving into the flesh and quit giving into sin and quit giving into the false doctrine. And you need to say, I'm going to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. I am not going to be entangled again with all of the things that have kept me bound up for so long. I'm not going to yield my life. Wait. Notice the person that's saying this. I am not. See, it's not a matter of whether your wife will let you or your husband will let you or your children will let you. It's a matter if you will make a choice to stand fast. And believe me, there's not been a better day for you and I to have our loins girt about with truth and to stand fast in the day and age we live in. And not stand fast in just anything. Stand fast in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand fast in the liberty we've been called to. We've been freed from sin to serve God. Now you say, well, I don't understand. I mean, I have all of these desires and wants, and if the flesh is indeed dead, if the flesh is dead to me, how come it bothers me? Because you like the flesh. That's why. When you and I give into sin, it's not because we have to, it's because we want to. If you're unsaved in here, you have to sin. You're bound to it. You're a prisoner of it. Romans chapter number 6, Romans chapter number 8. You are a prisoner. You're bound to it. So when he gives them this idea of standing, he wants to ask them some questions. Who is it that's going to keep you from standing? Now, believe me, I'm sure the preacher and his wife, and I know Twyla and I have heard multiple times, and you probably have heard somebody blame other people for the reason that they are the way they are. There's a man in our church for years and years and years. He would cuss, and he would say, my father was a person who cursed, and that's why I cuss. And I said, well, that's not a good excuse. And he'd get around me, and we'd be doing something, and he'd say a word, and I said, I don't want to hear that. Well, you don't understand. I said, so finally, one day, he comes to me, he goes, you know, I've decided something, that I can make the choice not to curse. And I said, welcome. You know, I was a person who was unsaved, bound to sin, but when you're saved, you're not bound to sin. You're freed from it. You've been given liberty in Jesus Christ. Okay, Romans chapter number 6. You know this. This is not new. Your preacher has preached this. This is not some kind of new, oh, what? What? But it seems like we need to be reminded. Romans chapter number 6. Verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know who has to make the choice that you are dead to sin? You have to reckon, you have to know, you have to realize, you have to acknowledge you are free from sin. So the next verse says, so don't let sin reign in your mortal body. This is not brain surgery. It's not. It's simply yielding and making the choice to stand. How? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Since he gave himself for me, I don't live unto myself. He lives through me and does the work in me. That's the liberty. Listen, the more you obey the scripture, the easier it becomes to obey more scripture. It's very, very simple and spelled out in the Bible. His commandments are not grievous. Amen. Why? Because the more it's like when I got married. If you've been married longer than 2 years, you've learned this. Happy wife, happy life. So don't be stupid. Don't do things that you shouldn't do. Like, when you're trying to teach her to drive a standard transmission, yell at her because she's not smart enough to figure out which pedal is which. And then tell her to get out of the car and take a walk. Yeah, there's guys in here going, oh, wow, I could have told you that, man. You're crazy. Evidently, don't ask her if anything's wrong when she's on her knees in the crypt in London at St. Peter's Cathedral. When she falls down the stairs. Evidently, that also was wrong, just finding that out this ladies' conference. I was concerned. Too bad. Let me tell you the story, men, so you'll all be on the same page with the ladies. I will tell it right. Let your women keep silent in the church. All right. All right. Yeah. Squirrel! Okay, I'm back. And so we walked all over London, missionary. It was a blessing, but he gave us different Baptist history sites to visit. It was a great blessing. I mean, it truly was. And St. Paul's Cathedral is not someplace that's Baptist, so don't get me wrong there. But we went in there because there were famous Baptists buried there. And so we went in, I went to the top, so we were going to walk down in the crypt and see who was buried there. And I don't even know I think Sir Walter Raleigh or somebody's buried there, and other people, famous people, I don't even know who they are. They're dead, who cares? And so we're walking down. It was a marble flight of stairs, and Twyla, evidently, I don't see through her eyes, so I'm just telling it the way she tells it. Evidently, her progressive lenses, you don't call them bifocals, because bifocals are for old people. So the progressive lenses, and she's looking at and she got down, and we were very tired from walking. It's true, we had never walked that much in our lives, and probably never will again. And she was like down 2 steps from the bottom, and she thought she was on the bottom. So the crowds in London push, and so we were separated. I could have stayed with her, but I would have been holding up a big bunch of people, and the Londoners aren't very kind. And so they are to an extent. But anyway, I was down at the bottom, turned left, and all of a sudden I see this woman running past me. And in my mind, I go, oh, man. And I heard her say, oh, you're all right, miss. Are you all right? And I turn around and I go, oh. Twyla's up against somebody's casket. I don't know whose it was. Face first, on her knees. I'm like, man, I knew that was going to be a bummer. I go back as a caring husband and say, what happened? I'm on my knees. And I went, lady goes, would you like us to call an orderly? Would you like us? I said, great, we're going to have to bury my wife in this basement. These people are really serious about this. And she's like falling down and worshiping these people. We don't even know who they are. This is what's going on in my mind. I go, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. My legs hurt. But I don't know. I can't feel anything. I went, all righty then. The lady helped her up. The lady was, I said, we're not going to sue. It's okay. She falls all the time. So, anyway. Sorry I had to get off on that, but now the men all know that if you ask your wife what's wrong after she's hurt herself, not the right thing to say. You're supposed to say, dear, should I rush you to the hospital? I don't know. Anyway, Twyla was not standing fast down in the basement of St. Paul's Cathedral. She fell. You know why? You know why people fall? I think it's a great illustration. Thank you very much. Because we think that we're somewhere where we're not. You know, people fall all the time because they believe themselves to be spiritually strong when they're not. They don't take into account that they're responsible for their spiritual growth. In fact, in this letter, the idea that Brother Paul's trying to get across to the Galatian churches is, excuse me, there is a way to do this. There is a way to live in the gospel. There is a way to walk in the Spirit, but you don't get to walk the way you want to walk. You have to walk the way that it's designed that you walk. See, that's why Baptist churches for years and years and years, well, for time in memoriam, have always been those who follow the scriptures and not follow men. And here they had been distracted by men and they were beginning to walk in the flesh because they were leaving the spirit thought behind. So he says it there in verse number 7, ye did run well. Now, so my first question to you is, has there been a time that you've been walking spiritually and living spiritually better than you do now? We are to evaluate our lives spiritually, constantly evaluating them. This is not a one and done prayer type thing. Like you get down and you commit yourself to the Lord and then, when you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. And you get bing, bippity boppity boo on the head. And now you're a good spiritual walking Christian because you came down and I prayed that one time at the altar. No, 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 no. He said, you did walk well. You did live right. You did have the right focus. What's hindering you? What changed you? What is keeping you now from doing the right thing? See, so many times people say, well, I go to church. Well, just because you go to church does not mean that you're a spiritual walker. It just means you go to church. You know, when our children were growing up, Twyla homeschooled them, and Stephen especially wanted magic to happen. The book should open and all the answers should bounce off the page and he should know everything that he's supposed to know. And he was the one who struggled the most because his sister, she could read something and boom, she got it. And she mocked him quite often, still does. Imagine that. If you ever met Rachel, you would go, yep, she's a mocker, just like her father. Anyway, and Stephen would become so frustrated because he wanted the knowledge to leap off the page and get into his brain But he didn't want to do the work. He didn't necessarily like the work. He wasn't real lazy. He's a boy. He always had something better to do. Now, here's what happens when we come to church. We come to church, but we don't come with the intent that, you know what? Whatever God's going to give me today, in the music, in the message, whatever it is today that I'm supposed to hear, I need to be ready to hear. And so I'm going to prepare myself to hear what it is. As I open my Bible today, this is another time. I'm opening my Bible today. I'm going to sit down and read it. And so many people read the Bible to get information like, well, I'm trying to read about finances in the Bible and how to handle my finances. That's brilliant. That's great. But do you know that's not why the Bible was written? The Bible was not written for your knowledge. It was written so that you could understand and know God, not grow in wisdom or knowledge of the world. When you open your Bible and read it, you're not supposed to be reading for answers. You're supposed to be reading to know God. Do you then walk well the way that you're supposed to walk? He says, you did run well. He was very good at giving illustrations that used physical activity, and especially fighting, Olympic games kind of thinking would be what you and I would look at, because it was a constant race, and he uses it in Hebrews quite well. And he talks about running the race. Now, wouldn't it be a bummer if you got to heaven and that was the only place you began to understand that you started well, but you didn't end well? I don't want to find out at the end of my life that I started well, but I didn't end well. Is there a way that I, as a believer, can look in the scriptures and determine where I'm running, how I'm running the race? Well, evidently there is. Because he says, ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not? Okay, here's a way that you know you're running well. You obey the truth. If you do not obey the truth, you are not running well. Isn't that just simple? So I take the Bible and it gives me direction for my relationship with my wife. If I'm not living according to what the Bible says, I'm not obeying the scriptures, therefore, I'm not running well. The Bible gives us complete instruction about go ye into all the world. Is it very clear what we're supposed to do? So if I'm not doing that, I'm not running well. Now you can say, well, I mean, there's instances where you can't always do these things and you can't always do this and you can't always live like a Christian. Evidently, you can. And you're supposed to. There's no excuse for disobedience to the truth. What is the truth? Is it the truth that Lighthouse Baptist Church establishes? Nope. Is it the truth that Brother Dan establishes? Nope. Is it the truth his wife establishes? Sometimes. Don't ever say nope toward the pastor's wife. What is the truth? Is there some kind of abstract truth that we're supposed to guess about? Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is not some kind of, you and I don't need to struggle over, well, I'm just not sure how I'm running. Yeah, there's a great gauge. Are you obeying the scriptures or are you not? Are you giving according to the scriptures or are you not? Are you witnessing or are you not? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light or are you not? I mean, these are not real big, hard things to figure out unless you start doing what's very popular today, and you and I begin to do this. Well, compared to him, I'm doing a lot better than he is. I'm a lot better than him. I mean, I don't have that goofy look on my face all the time. Now, you people should not be laughing, because I didn't even know you were going to laugh at that. I don't dress like that. I don't smile at that. No, and I'll tell you what, I'm faithful. At least I'm not like her. I don't talk about everybody, but let me tell you about her. But this is just a prayer request. See, we obey the way we want to obey. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't get to obey the way you want to obey. Well, I keep telling my wife that and she won't listen to me. Maybe if you obeyed, she would obey. Is there any person in here who's raised children and you love for them to disobey? I mean, you wait for the moment they do? Oh, yes, I love it. Yes, I used to love spanking my children. If you would just be obedient and bawling them out. No, 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 no. Any good parent prays that their child will just obey so I don't have to, you know, near kill you. And you go, well, Brother Ron, I never near kill. You ask your children how it felt. It felt near death. My dad always used to say, just tell the truth, it'll be better on you. He lied. He lied many times to me because I was often not telling the truth. So I tried lying and it wasn't any worse, but it wasn't any better either. You know what my parents wanted from me? Obedience. Why? Because obedience yields a relationship that becomes fellowship. And fellowship becomes a relationship that supersedes every other relationship on the planet to the point where I'm fully dependent on God. Do you obey the truth? First question, how are you running your race? Do you obey the truth? Evidently they did, but now they're not. It's a sad testimony, but it does seem that the more we should grow in Christ and the more we should become aware of the truth, and the more willing we should be to obey, it seems like the older we get in Christ, we tend to disobey. Why? I think it's because we're hindered. Well, what are we hindered by? Thank you for asking. Verse number eight. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I'll tell you why we don't obey. Because we like leaven. We like sin. We like it. I was diagnosed a few months ago with diabetes. Not horrible. I don't have to take shots and stuff like that. I take metformin, which is a drug that kind of helps boost whatever my body's supposed to do, and I don't really care because I love cherry pie. Now, I do watch my carb intake and all that, so, but wouldn't it be crazy if my doctor told me that, gave me the medicine, I'm just talking about me, so don't get mad if you do this, okay? Because somebody came up to me and goes, well, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Wouldn't it be crazy if I went to my doctor and he gave me this? He says, now, if you'll change your eating habits and you'll take this medication, you can actually, you'll extend your ability to stay off of needles, which is probably I don't want to be a person who gets shots all the time. Why? I don't like needles, all right? Let's just, when I was a little kid, I crawled under the table when it came immunization time and cried, no, no, no! So, I don't like needles. Now, I'm not a big baby about it anymore. I don't scream. For some of you men are going, oh, man up! I don't scream. I just go, I just don't want to do it. So, I don't want to do it, but I continue the way that I'm eating all of this stuff. Doctors told me what to do. I go back to the doctor 6 months later for a checkup. He goes, well, I can tell you haven't done anything I told you to do. And I could say, well, I just didn't like your truth about, you know, if it worked. I just don't believe you. You know why? Because I like bread. I like rice. I like cherry pie. I like chocolate cake. And I want to eat all of them in one meal. I don't want to have to eat just meat. And then maybe you can have a small piece of something that has some carbs in it. No, I'm just going to continue to do what I want to do. And he says, this is what my doctor would say. Fine, if you want to die, that's up to you. And I said, well, just because you say I'm going to die doesn't mean I'm going to die. There's not a person in this room that has any sanity. They would go, well, Brother Ron, that's okay for you to act like that. It's your life. You can throw it away if you want. You can just do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. No, no, no. You would say this. Well, if you want to die, I guess you can live that way. But if you want to live a healthy life where my dad is diabetic and he just a couple of years ago had an amputation, his left leg. And he's on 4 shots a day. And he's very diabetic. Now, I've seen him in the hospital. Wouldn't it be kind of ridiculous of me not to at least try what the truth I've been told is? Yeah, it'd be ridiculous of me. There's not a person in here who would go, good job. Way to disobey the doctor. Okay, every time you open your Bible, every time you hear a message, you hear a preacher say, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, he may not say that exactly, but he talks about sin in our lives. And the Bible certainly warns us against the way that we live and the way that we allow the flesh to control us. It does. We get plenty of warning from God. And God says, if you'll just simply keep the leaven, the sin, out of your life, you won't be this person who struggles with being disobedient. You'll become a person who's obedient. But here's what you have to understand. It only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. I'm not a baker, but my mom makes these great cinnamon rolls. And she doesn't dump, like, 4 cups of flour and then 6 cups of yeast. That would be crazy. She uses a little bit, and it's amazing how that dough, and we all get this. This is a great picture. We get it. But we just don't get it. If you're disobeying, it's because there's leaven in your life, and you're just saying, you can't make me do that. Well, you're right. God's not going to make you do that. Did you know that? He's not going to force you to obey. He's not like a parent. He's not a... You say, well, he brings things in your life. No. He's always trying to turn us to the truth. But ultimately, because we have a free will, he cannot make you obey. He can make you wish you had obeyed. But he cannot make you obey. He wants us to obey because we want to obey. But we never catch this. All it takes is one little thing on some show that we watch, and suddenly we're accepting all of that as natural and okay. One little blurb or one little thing on the internet, and all of a sudden, it's okay. One little word that we say and hanging around the wrong people, or, well, it's the reason that he's writing this is because a little leaven had come into the church. And the sin was that they were preaching another gospel, and here's the way they were receiving it. Well, it's more knowledge, and we can receive it, and this is good stuff. And Paul is saying, catch this. It doesn't take much to get started, and pretty soon, you're a lot farther away from obeying the truth than you ever thought you were, and that you ever thought you would be. Have you ever walked in, caught your kids doing something, asked them why they were doing it, and they said, I don't know? Which is not an answer, by the way. I don't know is not an answer. Why did you do this? I don't know. I've read books written by Christians that says, they literally don't know. They know. They're wicked. Don't fool yourself. Now, Brother Ron, we need to be kind about this. No, I read a book about why young people do the bad things they do. And it was all in this. They don't think out the consequences. Now, I believe they don't think them out, but they still do the stuff they do because they want to do it. And they just don't really think out the consequences because who knows if there's going to be caught? What if I don't get caught? Hey, welcome to Adam and Eve's life. This isn't anything new. God didn't tell Adam and Eve, don't eat of 16 trees in the garden. He said, don't eat of one. Why? So you and I would get the picture. It doesn't take much to step into sin. All it takes is one teeny tiny little thing. And pretty soon, you're so far from obeying the truth that you think disobedience is the norm for every Christian. In fact, you get to the point where you go to church and people who are obeying, you get mad at them because they're obeying. And you think they're judging you, and they probably aren't even thinking about whether you're obeying or not. Did you know that? It's so amazing. People leave churches, they go, well, it's because they're all judgmental over there. I said to one of the people that was leaving, because I said, has anyone walked up to you and said, we've been watching you, we know your life is a big sham and you're a liar? Here's what they said, believe it or not, no. I said, has anyone ever walked up to you and said, well, I do this and you don't, and so that makes you evil? No. So here was my next question. So why do you believe people are judging you? Well, they just are. That is not an answer. We're leaving, and I said, you're leaving because you want to. Period. There's no other discussion. Now, what happened? They went to a church that doesn't preach the same Bible, that doesn't believe baptism the way that we do. And it was pretty evident that at one time they did run well. I'm telling you, they were good runners. They were right in the big middle of it. They were faithful people. But you, it doesn't take very long, and you can go from this little tiny thing all the way over here to a place where you are completely disobedient, but you think everybody else is wrong. And that's the thing that surprises me most about when people start getting in trouble or they begin to disobey. They think their obedience is right and everybody else is wrong. So all 300 people in the auditorium are wrong and I'm the only right one. Well, that's not usually the case, President, sir. It's because the world has moved that direction and we've allowed it in our thinking. And our thinking is where the leaven really starts. What we begin to accept as obedience versus the truth. So then he says this. Here's another way you can know if you're obeying and you're walking in this. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, and are using not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Okay? I don't have a lot of leaven in my life. I don't have any leaven. Are you a servant? Do you obey the truth? Are you a servant to others? Or do you like to be served? What is your goal? What is your reason for coming to church? Why do you serve? Whom do you serve? Well, Brother Ron, I just don't like this harsh, in-your-face preaching. It's awesome because I didn't do it. Paul did. And we don't like people saying, here's the mirror, look and see who you are. I'm the guy who looks in the mirror and goes, very healthy, no bags under the eyes. Oh, look at that physique. Oh, yeah, that's flabby. But I think it's strong. Man, I almost look like Brother Dan Tidd. Mean, lean, fighting machine. I'm awesome. I turn away and I go, man, yeah, I'm ready. I can do this. I come to church. I'm a good Christian. The preacher says, we need a Sunday school teacher. I would never teach those brats. You couldn't pay me enough. It's a great way to serve one another. Well, I'll tell you what, they're going to have this men's thing. They're going to have this ladies' conference. I'm staying as far away from that as I can. Every man should have said that. Too bad you got trapped. But, because your wife would not let you out of it. You never hear the end of it. So, you come here, you serve. Well, how come nobody recognized my service? He said, in love, serve one another. Don't serve each other because you're expecting something. Christians that are properly standing are not just obeying and they're not just staying away from sin, but they're servants with a servant's heart. Our family, this was our motto. Servants are willingly inconvenienced for others. The operative word there is willingly. If you're unwillingly inconvenienced, you're not a servant. Why? Because servants Understand that they're going to be inconvenienced and it's okay. We're trying to find out, where are you running? How are you running? These aren't just random thoughts that he has given us here. Are you obeying the truth? Is there leaven in your life? Is there sin in your life that shouldn't be there? Are there little teeny things that you've allowed that shouldn't be there? Are you serving properly? And then finally, he just says this. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Where are you walking? See, we don't like to be evaluated by other people. And so evidently we don't like evaluating ourselves. But if you go into most churches today, most, and if you were able to see their hearts and their lives, or stay in a church for just a little while and watch, you can tell who the people who are walking in the Spirit are and those who are walking in the flesh. You don't even have to judge them. Why? Because they look different. Is it possible for a Christian to walk in the flesh? Well, evidently it is, because he says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So evidently you can walk in the flesh. Evidently there's a possibility. And I'm not going to go through it, but if you read the following verses, you will see what he says the lust of the flesh looks like. And then he shows you what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. You don't need somebody, according to John, 1 John chapter number 2, you don't need somebody to take the Word of God and spell it out for you. You and I have an unction that you have the ability to ask yourself this question: who's stopping me from serving the Lord? Am I still running the race, or have I improved in my running of the race? Am I obedient to the truth? Am I obedient to it? Is there something in my life that should not be there? Is there some sin that I've allowed that I just say, it's okay? It's okay, I'm still obedient. This is okay though. Is there a willingness, a heart to serve one another in the church? Or are you the served? And finally, when you look at your life away from church, where do you walk most? The flesh or the Spirit? Again, read the verses. It's very plain what the flesh looks like. And the such like covers the things you don't think are covered. Had a person say to me, "Well, it doesn't say you shouldn't smoke in the Bible." I said, "Right, it doesn't. But if you're going to heaven, why would you want to smell like you've been to hell?" We are to abstain from all appearance of evil. Chewing tobacco? These are things that we just don't. The wrong things on TV? Hey, Christians make TV things or movie things just as popular as the rest of the world does by what we're entertained by. And we do it in the name of entertainment, but it's a little leaven that suddenly you're so far from obedient, you don't know how you got there. And when we walk in the Spirit, there's a difference between us and the world. You and I were never meant to fit into this world because we're not of this world. Where do you fit in best? You know, one thing that bothers me when I go to youth camps quite often is some of the kids in the youth groups will say, "Some of my best friends are not in the youth group or at church. They're in public school." And I've heard people in the church who work secular jobs, "Some of my best friends are in that secular job." Sad. It's just sad. Your best friends should be people who think exactly like you. So isn't it sad that you would think like the world more than you think like people at church? I love the testimony of the lady. I do not know her name. I did not know she was going to give it. But it's the perfect testimony. I love it that we are, as ladies, we're in unity, moving together, serving together, doing these things together. I love it. Another lady said, this doesn't happen in every church. She's right. You know why? Because people are consumed with being disobedient more than they are with being obedient. They're consumed with walking in the flesh and not the spirit. They are so far away from running the race well that they think they're running the race well. It's like the guy who's in last place running the mile. And he comes across the line 20 minutes after everyone, which that would be really sad. And he goes, I won. No, everybody's gone home. You haven't won anything. Wouldn't that be a bummer to be the Christian who ran your race and you thought, man, I've done so good, and get to heaven and say, you ran so well. What happened? What hindered you? Every head bowed, every eye closed.